Today's September 2nd, 2018. This is Mobile Views Podcast 266. I'm Todd Ogasawara, my good friend John Westfall. And we've got guest panelist Ricky Lee.
Hello.
Hey, Ricky. And I asked Ricky, because last week I did my rant about the lack of new pre-disaster preparation apps, information, whatever. I thought, well, maybe it's just me. So
We're going to new and exciting places when our rants become that specific.
Yeah.
Todd's rant on the lack of new disaster preparedness software for his phone.
Yeah, and other devices. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I figured, well, Ricky keeps a better tab on these kind of things than I do. So I reached out to him. He was available, willing to wake up in time for the podcast, and here we are. Anyway, I want to start with a couple other things before we start on our querying of Ricky and his what he did during the preparation period for Hurricane Lane, which fortunately missed us, or at least the island that we both live on. Anyway, first thing.
On Oahu.
Yeah. First thing I want to mention, since we didn't do, I haven't done a comics views with Jay Stone for a while, is that Jay and I both subscribed to the new DC Universe streaming service, but we didn't know when it was going to start. So now we know. It's September 15th, so we're less than 2 weeks away from the new DC Universe streaming service's start. Unfortunately, its flagship live-action TV show, Titan, won't start till October 2nd or something. So I guess we'll just be watching old videos. I think Batman the Animated Series and some other things are going to be available at launch.
Hey, Batman the Animated Series was great.
It was awesome. Bruce Timm is my hero, man. So,
is the pre-order price still active? I might sign up.
It is.
Now that it's closer.
The pre-order price is the same as the regular price. The catch is, or the bonus is, you get 3 extra months. So basically, you get 15 months for, I want to say, $74.99. Mm-hmm. Instead of 12. And that'll include the new series, which will be starting October 2nd, Titan, Swamp Thing. I think Stargirl was just added, Doom Patrol. And I think most, if not all of those, are live action. And then there's some animated stuff, too. I think, what was it called? New Justice? Yeah, New Justice Season 3. You know, New Justice kind of died after Season 2, with a cliffhanger, as I recall. So there's actually going to be a season 3, but it'll be only on the DC Universe streaming service. And I think they're bringing back some TV shows like Lois and Clark and Smallville, maybe. I don't know. A few things like that. So, you know.
And Retroville for a while.
Huh?
It's Retroville binged for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I have the first couple of years or seasons of Smallville on DVD, for those who remember what that is. But I don't have the later years, and I kind of want to watch the last season again. So I'm hoping they'll make everything available versus, you know, one season at a time. It sounds like they're going to release things in batches, so everything won't be available all the time. I don't understand that. And I don't understand how they're going to release comic books either. So there's some kind of comic book portion of the service, but, you know, we're kind of like
Comixology. So to sum up, you have signed up for a service that you're not quite sure what it will have, when it will have it, how it will get it to you, and the flagship won't even be there when it actually starts up.
Yeah, it's like ordering a new iPhone.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's very
kind of similar. But yet, I don't think they've done a great job of convincing you why you need it in your life yet, other than the intrinsic value of the characters and your love of them.
So. Oh, the draw are the new live action series, starting with Titans. So there's that's the big draw for me, and for some other, I think for Jay also. I think Doom Patrol may have been a bigger draw. But at any rate, so September 15th, be there, be square. Talking to you, Ricky.
Todd's long ago stopped threatening me about comic really good things.
All right. Next thing I wanted, I also wanted Ricky's take on this because he's always been a Windows fan, as I recall. Although he dabbled with MacBooks for a while. I think his Mac, month of Mac or whatever it is you had.
Oh, that. Yeah. Yeah. That was for a month,
Yeah.
As much as anyone can be a fan of Windows, I mean, Microsoft products really are the quintessential abusive relationships that, you know, we get into and then have trouble finding a suitable Nate. I mean, I made the switch. It was a difficult thing for me when I went from Windows to Mac, and now I sort of live in between the two worlds. But
same here.
Yeah.
But Microsoft, in their defense, they have epic T-shirts.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, yes.
They do. Ricky is wearing a Ninja Cat T-shirt. It's too bad we don't record video of this, because it is epic indeed. Next thing, speaking of Microsoft, so there's an article in Ars Technica that basically says Chromebooks are a dangerous development for Microsoft Windows. And, you know, I'm not a huge Windows fan, but I was ready to... I should note I'm recording on a MacBook Air right now. But I use Windows at work every day. Hardly ever use it at home. And then I start, as soon as I thought that to myself, without even having read the article, and I did read the article, I thought, you know, I'm going to read the article because I think he may be right. Because I have not thought about buying a new Windows PC in a long time. Now, I did buy a Windows PC Mini Tower about 2 years ago because the Mini Tower I was using to store my photos locally was about to die. And so I wanted to replace it. But after that, you know, I have a Dell Inspiron 5000 notebook I bought, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's an i7, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I hardly use it. I boot it up maybe once a month to run Windows Update. And then I turn it off, you know, for another month. I also have some kind of HP, I think, or Asus. I think it's an HP tablet running, you know, full Windows 10 that I use to run the Windows Insider beta, and I boot that up about once a month. Oh, in fact, I should do it now. It's the first of the month. I should boot that up once a month to get the Windows Insider updates, but gee, you know, I just don't care about Windows anymore, or Windows devices anymore. And most of the time, you know, once a week I run a Mac to record these podcasts. And the rest of the time I'm running a Chromebook. I got a Samsung Chromebook Plus back in the spring of 2016, so it's about a year and a half old now. And for most of the stuff I do, it's just fine. I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, John, I know you haven't bought a Windows device for out of, you know, personal cash in a long time.
Yeah, that's very true. Work does provide me with a Surface Pro.
Yep.
And I do think if that was not an option, if I were to change jobs and I didn't have the Surface, I might pick one up. Because occasionally there are things I do with Microsoft Office that only work well on Windows.
Really?
So like if what? I'm what? Access.
Ew.
Yeah, I know it's in you, but...
for a while.
I can do certain things in Excel and other places. And plus, occasionally you'll find these weird features in Office that only exist on the Mac or on Windows. They've just never been ported over to the other version. So
you can run PostgreSQL or MySQL on Windows. You know, there's like installers for it.
But there's just something exhilarating about the Jet database.
Ew. I reiterate you.
Oh my goodness, I haven't heard those new words in a while.
I'm still also the person that thinks of, you know, these newfangled things like object orienting and programming. So, you know, I'm still kind of getting on board with certain things from 20 years ago.
Boy, for a young guy, John, I don't know. I mean, now that I think about it, I don't know if there's a NoSQL database that you can install on Windows with an installer. I think I'm going to go look for one because, you know, I haven't really played with them much. But anyway, so Ricky, I know you had a comment about this earlier when I brought it up before the podcast.
I have 5 Windows computers and one Mac Mini. Hmm. So I'm firmly in the Windows world because I used Macs for about 10 years back in the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was using Macs was I was doing network engineering, and it had a built-in TFTP server. You know, everything you needed to manage the network was built into the OS. And mm-hmm. back then, Mac OS just got out of your way. It let you do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But the most recent versions have gone so Fisher-Pricey and has handheld everything you do. They took out the TFTP server. They took out everything that I used to use as a network engineer that I'm like, well, I'm going back to Windows because... I can just install stuff. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've been stuck on Windows.
Oh, or you could get a Linux notebook.
I have tried going that route, but one, Linux drivers just doesn't exist for every single notebook out there.
That's true.
And I do not want to spend half an hour troubleshooting my laptop before I'm able to go deal with a client computer, right? Before I'm like, hang on, before I fix your work, I got to figure out why my Wi-Fi's not working. Sudo apt-get, the latest drivers, yeah, no.
You know, I have to say that I haven't had a problem on a Linux box with Wi-Fi, or networking in particular, in many years. Mm-hmm. I know that used to be a problem, but most modern... I mean, weren't you playing with Fedora lately? I mean, I haven't played with Fedora in years, to be honest.
I don't know. Fedora feels like it's stagnated. For some reason, Ubuntu has got all the updates.
Oh, yeah. Ubuntu's kind of the go-to distro these days.
Yeah, I gave up on that Fedora install and just went Ubuntu.
Okay.
The problem is going to be not that the drivers will need to be updated regularly. It's that they will die right before you need them in a critical time situation.
Yes,
and
yes, they do.
That was always my hesitation about going to Linux for a daily driver, was just, it's going to die right when I need it, because I know on the server side, things die in Linux right when I need them most, not to die. I thought, at least the server, I've got an operating system that I'm, you know, natively connected to, connecting through to my server, at least that's stable.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, back in, for, you know, you guys probably remember netbooks. Before Windows became available on netbooks, they used to run Linux out of the box.
I remember that.
So I think I have an Acer. Yeah, that run, you know, it's some weird version of Linux out of the box. It wasn't Ubuntu. It was kind of their own distro. But anyway, that one ran fine. Designed for the hardware, you know.
I actually have one of those netbooks sitting in its slipcase in my office at work. I haven't used it in about 4 years, but I think I actually have 7 running on it, which it shipped with that. Yeah, I should really just turn it into a Linux box. But
yeah. All right.
I have a netbook sitting somewhere with like four gigs of eMMC memory. Slow.
Well, I think
you were going to ask me about, what was my comment? Oh, that I'm not really on desktops anymore. I've been using that Snapdragon Windows tablet thing.
Which one is that?
The HP Envy X2.
So is this... So, Snap... So that's Windows on ARM or something?
Yeah, Windows on ARM.
Yeah. And did you... Yeah, were you able to... Does it only run S mode, or can you get full Windows running on that thing?
Running full Windows.
Yeah.
I'm running with full Windows.
John and I were discussing that. Neither of us bought it, but what do you think of it?
I got it on the Amazon Prime Day for about $700.
Okay, kind of expensive.
$700, huh?
Kind of expensive.
Well, it's sold for $999, right?
Yeah, which is way too expensive.
Which was way too expensive, but it did come with free Sprint, which was okay, but Sprint in Honolulu, not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I gave up on that. I stuck my Google Fi SIM card into the device, but you know how iPads change, an iPad has difference once you have the LTE iPad, and somehow it's a different experience.
I've never had an LTE. All my iPads are Wi-Fi only.
Well, I was pressing. You can't see it. This is the device.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes off. You log in by looking at it. My arm's not long enough. You have to be 3 feet away. My arms are not quite 3 feet away to log in. But, and it comes with the pen, which is nice. But I'm digging it. I'm using it as a... one of the places I work at, Wi-Fi is really bad. So it's faster to tether. And that's just easier. I sit down at the desk in that office, open the thing up, start typing away. If I'm at local store, my favorite cafe, and the sit-down tables are all taken, I can just put the thing off and just use the pen, start writing on the device, and I'm still working. And it's all Windows, right? So it's all the same experience all the way through, that I'm not switching from a mobile experience to a desktop experience and then back to a mobile experience. It's just Windows.
Hmm.
But to your point, once I got that thing, I stopped bringing my Dell XPS 15 laptop around because it's heavy.
Right.
I need a tether to something.
Right.
I kind of stopped using my desktop at home because I turn it on, it's a space heater. I don't need the space heater in Hawaii while I just watch you use it, watch the tablet. I can screencast to my Roku if I want to watch the screen. So from that point of view, it became my Star Trek tablet. The pad.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, I was just thinking about why I don't carry, I don't have any LTE. I remember now, I have a Wi-Fi. So, you know, Wi-Fi is always...
But that's one extra thing to charge, right?
It, I don't know. I just charge it once a day, and it's kind of good. Also, me, it's
to charge.
It's also an external USB battery in a pinch.
And it's work provided.
Yeah.
So yeah, that helps.
When I'm running around, you know, it's like, I have my Wi-Fi hotspot, so I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Surface Pro has an LTE option, right? I don't think so.
Surface Pro, they do. They have one model that's an i5, but it starts at $1,500 or something.
That's like a new one, though. The Surface, I have this old.
That's a new one.
I have the older Surface Pro. I don't think it had an LTE option. Yeah.
I was looking at it. I was going $1,500 for that thing, and it doesn't come with a keyboard or a pen or anything like that, or this $700 device. It's half the price.
Right.
I can live with. But it's slow. I will give you that. It is slow. You can tell that Windows is emulating stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you use Edge. It's fast. And as soon as Edge pulls up an extension that is compiled for x86, emulation kicks in, and the whole experience is slow.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't know that happened.
Yes.
So even though Edge is running on native Iron, I assume.
Right.
ARM. When it brings extension, it actually kicks into emulator for the x86 part separately. Brickly? Or does Edge now also run in x86 like it's in a container?
As far as I can tell, Edge is still running native, but all the those particular extensions will be in x86. So there is a slowdown when they exchange data between the two of them.
So it makes the worst major browser even worser.
Yes, and I've tried to use Chrome on the thing, but because it's 32-bit emulated, it just wasn't worth the headache.
Yeah, it just slows it down to a crawl. So basically it's not for me.
Yeah. It's a very limited use case, and in my case, it works.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, if it works for you.
I just feel like I am such the simpleton that it's an iPad Pro and my iPhone on the road to get things done, and then... the Surface Pro if I need to work at the office, and then I have a MacBook Pro. That's really all I have computing-wise. Yeah. But I do understand the idea of when you're trying to work remotely. When I was in New York, I used to bounce around different places and work from cafes and stuff like that. But that's really why I don't think I've jumped onto one of these smaller tablets because I work either from my desk at home or my desk at one of my two offices at work. And when you're just doing that and you have docking stations everywhere, you don't really think too much other than what an iPad will do for you.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I could live off an iPad Pro because I do have one with LTE, but Apple just keeps restricting stuff and then you hit that barrier. It's like, I can't do this because it's, you know, I can only do it the Apple approved way, which
is the right way.
Well, oddly enough, I've noticed a couple of random things in the operating system that have given me hope over the last couple of years. So you can now tunnel SSH connections, which I had never noticed before, but that actually opened up a lot of sysadmin stuff for me now that I have a little app. I think it was like $1.99 or something called SSL Tunnel, and I can have port forwarding and all those sorts of things. So that's helped me jump into places where I can't VPN in, but I look at a local console or something like that on my phone. So I think there are some features here and there that are being added, but unless you go looking for them, you just sort of know, well, the iPad doesn't support that, and then it's something that you realize, oh, that got added in, hidden in iOS 9 or some random point release somewhere in the past. Or somehow someone figured out how to build it and they put it in the App Store and Apple doesn't care enough about it to remove it yet. So.
Yeah.
That's
the end.
All right.
All sysadmins that are using it and they're, you know, it's not hitting any major flag points for Apple.
Okay, moving on to one more Microsoft item, and that is that starting in October 2nd, Microsoft is going to increase the device limits for Office 365 personal and regular consumer subscriptions. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Basically, it means that I think instead of 5 users for the regular home subscription, you can have 6. And each of the users can have 5 devices in use simultaneously, which I think is more than enough. So I currently have a personal edition, but I'm going to upgrade it to the full one so I can basically use it across multiple devices simultaneously, because I do tend to have a lot of stuff running. So I don't know, Ricky. Anyway,
I'm unsubscribed to Office 360 because have to. Everybody, I've tried going to Open Office and the Google Docs route. It doesn't really work. But really,
yeah.
I thought they were just increasing it to 6. I didn't think it was increased to 6 and each person could have 5.
Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, you can have 30 devices running at the same time.
I can finally upgrade my dad's computer. That's good news.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, 6 users instead of 5, and each one can have 5 active devices. So, and since, you know, my iPad Pro 10.1 requires a license, I can now use that. So that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I'll do the obligatory. Well, I work, what is it called now? It's free. Mac Office, whatever it was called, whatever it was called this year. iWork, yeah, it's free.
Right.
That was it. That's the obligatory Mac person going, but iWork is free. All right.
Yeah.
And iWork is great in the like 3% edge scenarios where it works just fine for everything.
Yeah. Or if you really like Keynote, and a lot of people do like
that's
Keynote.
True.
Keynote is better than PowerPoint.
Oddly enough, Numbers I think works better with CSV.
Really?
I've had some CSV files that Excel just mangles when it tries to open them if you don't actually go through and
the little wizard,
you know, expand to columns and all that.
Right.
But they'll open up fine in Numbers and look fine. And it's just sort of bizarre. Even a file that was a compound CSV with like 3 or 4 different layouts in the file, and Numbers could display it just fine. Excel made just a giant mess of it. So
yikes.
Randomly, you can. That's why I still think I keep iWork installed, is just because sometimes. Also, data visualization sometimes in iWork is easier if you're showing, in my case, students how to do something. The graphics are a little bit more quick to update, and you can kind of show off things, and they update virtually as you're going through iCloud.com. So like I said, it's a 3% use scenario right on the border, and it works just fine for that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Given Todd things to think about now. Hmm. This whole world is shattered.
Actually, I hardly ever use iWork, so, you know, I actually bought it when it was, you know, $30 a pop or whatever.
Yeah.
And even then I didn't use it, but I had it. I bought it to have it, I think, just in case.
That same idea. And then it went free and I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. So John has 2 tips before I quiz Ricky on his post-hurricane assessment of his pre-hurricane experience. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Shoot, go ahead, John.
So the first is a tip on guided access, which is my favorite hidden iOS feature. This is the feature that's hidden in the accessibility menu in iOS. Basically, it allows you to set up your device in demo mode, in a sense, lock it into one application, disable the buttons, disable the touch input. You can basically disable everything. And just turn it into a slate with whatever is on the screen at that moment being what's going to be on there permanently for until you unlock it. I typically recommend this to parents because they want their kids to be able to watch a YouTube video but not swipe over to email and delete out email and stuff like that. But it also, I've came across this morning a great tip to use it if you are in a situation where you need your screen to stay on, but auto lock is working against you. So you're cooking and you want that recipe to stay on the screen and the screen not to turn off after 3 minutes or 5 minutes, or you're working on your car or something like that and your hand's going to get all dirty. And if your screen goes off, you really are in a pinch because the diagram just went away. So Guided access, it's great if you are a parent. It's great if you are at the office and you want to show a picture and you don't want people swiping through the rest of your pictures when they take your phone to hold it closer to them. Mm-hmm. And it's also great if you need something to stay on the screen and not move off the screen. And it's completely hidden if you don't know it even exists.
I didn't know it existed at all.
Yeah. It's under general settings and then accessibility. And you can play around with it. And it'll either unlock with a different passcode. Yep. You can set a dedicated passcode for it, or you can unlock it with Touch ID or Face ID.
General accessibility.
Cherry bottom. Guided access. And then the other thought that I had that I thought was interesting is there's speculation. There's been speculation for a while that Google might be working on a Pixel Watch. And this is now off again for at least this year. But it's interesting to think about what the world would look like if there was an iPhone and an Apple Watch and then a Pixel and a Pixel Watch. And I thought about in the next year when the Pixel 3 comes out, potentially buying one just to play with it, because I haven't had a modern Android smartphone in a number of years. I have a little Huawei piece of junk that I occasionally boot up just to try something on Android.
Once a month to load updates and to shut it down.
I don't even do that. It's like once every 6 months, and it's a real pain when I do start it up. But yeah, it's an interesting thought that if Google can actually pull that off, they might have a parallel use scenario as Apple has. However, I don't think Google Android users use a watch enough, or into purchasing enough things that they would also go for a watch. So it's an interesting debate, but something to keep an eye on. And I don't know, Todd, would you, you've had in the past a Motorola 360 and an Apple Watch. Would you want a watch that would work with your Android phone, or are you happy with just the Apple Watch right now?
Well, I have a Moto 360 that works with my Android phone. I just don't use it since I'm an Apple Watch user now.
I still have an Android watch still in the box.
Which one did you buy, Ricky?
The Zen Watch 2.
Well, that's a nice one.
It is a nice one, but compared to the Apple Watch, it's terrible.
That's, I think, the thing that the only thing that gives me hope for if Google did a watch was that maybe they would actually do one at the same level. But that was my frustration with Android watches before Pebble, and even during the Pebble era, was that Pebble was the only decent one, and it couldn't do half the things. The others tried to do everything and failed miserably.
Well, I just read that almost everything except my first-gen Moto 360 is going to get the latest Android Wear OS update, so... I haven't really kept track of it since I don't wear my Android Wear device anymore. But I have to say, I did like my Moto 360 while I had it. I think it still has a much more customizable watch face environment than the Apple Watch.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
it does. It had the one I had, the Moto 360, didn't have nearly as good battery life, though. In fact, that's one of the reasons I think I bought an Apple Watch is because the Moto 360 battery was. It was dying like before the end of the workday, I think. Mm-hmm. And as it aged. And when I looked for a replacement Android watch, there really wasn't anything. It seemed like, Google had given up on Wear OS. So I said, I have an iPhone. I'll just go get an Apple Watch.
I really think they gave up on Wear OS and they just rebooted the whole project. Because from what I'm seeing of that preview they've got of the new Wear OS, it doesn't look like anything we had before. I think the original problem with Android Wear was that it tried to be a phone on your wrist versus the Apple Watch is, it's not the iPhone on your wrist, it's a different experience. So I'm hoping they fix that in the next one. I still have hope for Android Wear. I would like to see a different environment other than the Apple thing, but
there's always hope for a better, somebody I know, one of my coworkers, I think, bought a Tizen,
Samsung, my friend has that too.
I don't know how good it is though.
Well, the time we bought something at McDonald's, I could pay for the thing with my Apple Watch. His watch was fritzing out.
Really?
So from my experience, the Apple Watch won that particular environment, that particular work. It was like, well, I could just pay. And that feels like the future. By the way. Paying with your wrist feels like the future.
Well, and it also helps that the people at McDonald's look at you like you're a god when you do it because they just are so shocked, at least in my McDonald's in rural Mississippi. that also boosts your ego a little bit when you do it.
Oh, one thing I'm looking forward to an Apple Watch is Microsoft said it's currently in beta, and I think it's going to be released in a few months. Microsoft is going to provide a multi-factor authentication for the Apple Watch. And since my work device requires MFA to log in, that'll be nice to have.
LastPass has that.
What's that?
I think LastPass already has that on the Apple Watch. There's a LastPass app on my Apple Watch. Now I'm going to be looking at my watch while you guys talk.
That's fine.
Well, and there's LastPass and 1Password have apps for the watch, because I use 1Password and I can get my two-factor codes through the watch, which is very convenient. But what Microsoft is adding is actually a push to the watch to do an authentication without a code.
So, okay, I get it.
You know, kind of what Duo Mobile does and a few other two-factor solutions already do.
Okay. Never opened up the LastPass app before. Okay.
So
that sounds cool. That sounds better than what's on there right now.
Okay. Let me see. So to answer John's question, I don't know. I'm kind of more curious about what the next Apple Watch is going to be like, which will be announced in 10 days. So.
Well, the rumor is that the screen's going to get bigger. I don't know if the watch will get bigger, if it's just the bezel that's going to get bigger.
Yeah, but the rumor is it's going to be bezel-less.
Yeah. And it's not one of those things I think I'm ready to jump from my Series 3 with cellular, but... it is an interesting thing to look at. I'm hoping there will be a few new watch faces announced that will be available to all of the watches and not just exclusive to this new Series 4.
Absolutely.
I am hoping, since we can wish for the sky and Apple won't deliver it what you want, I am hoping for the Apple Car to come out, and then the Apple Watch will be the, hey, Kit, come here.
Well, you know, the Apple Car was just in an accident where it was found to be at fault, right? So they need to do some bug testing.
But that's normal for Apple devices. I'm going to be killed.
Okay, the last topic, which is one of the main reason I asked Ricky to be here, is so last week I was kind of lamenting the fact, it wasn't really a rant, it was mostly a lament, that as we were preparing for Hurricane Lane, which, as I said, fortunately did not affect those of us on this island much. So, you know, we had a lot of time to prepare. We had days to prepare. And, you know, at the end, I was just kind of literally sitting around waiting for stuff to happen and how to react if necessary. And, you know, I had some boards and double-sided nails if it started to get really windy. But I was waiting to see what the thing... And a couple of things happened. One... It was pretty obvious the models for the storm were way off until the very end, where it correctly predicted that it would be sheared by wind shear or trade winds and become, you know, change directions and so forth. But up until then, you know, you kept saying, if you looked at various apps, my favorite weather app is Dark Sky, for example. You know, kept saying for the first couple of days, hey, you know, dangerous winds in about 12 hours. In 12 hours, it happened, nothing happened. And I'd breathe a sigh of relief, and then it'd say, oh, dangerous winds in 8 hours, and, you know, it was past. And
dangerous winds in the tree in my little insert video.
Yeah. And so, and you know, of course, I was happy that that's never happened, because, you know, I was not looking forward to going outside and boarding stuff up. And I started looking around for other apps, you know, say, well, you know, Dark Sky is pretty good, but maybe there's something better, or maybe there's something... you know, more accurate or something. But anyway, as I looked around, there are a couple of hurricane apps or a couple of storm apps, but then they wanted you to pay extra money for the hurricane part of it. I said, well, heck with that, you know. I'm not sure I want it that much. I really didn't see... So what did you find, Ricky? I mean, did you find anything new, or did you find the stuff you had was adequate?
Before I say anything, I need to apologize to my friends who are working at Hope. Civil Defense, Hawaii-Ima, whatever it's called now.
Yeah, Hawaii-Ima.
I don't like Hawaii-Ima, yeah. I need to apologize to them. I love you guys. But, yeah, this was terrible. I was hoping for something similar to Honolulu 311 or whatever that app is.
Oh, for the city and county.
Yeah, for the city and county. Hawaii is just such a different beast that we really need something like an app that tells you, you know, don't hoard water, or use your 5 gallon show you buckets to store your water, and you don't have to go buy them, right? There are a lot of tips and knowledge that is there at Hi-Ima but doesn't get out to the public because for the last 60 years, we've been using the guidance from civil defense on the mainland, right? Which is, I mean, at one point they were telling you to duck under the desk when the nuclear bomb strikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of, why don't you go downtown? Still plan to do that. But you know what I mean? Like, civil defense has maps of, like, UH with bomb shelters. But only the students at UH knew that during the bomb scare.
And weren't they locked?
Yeah, they were locked in. They were used for storerooms.
Yeah. So they couldn't actually go there.
Yeah, they couldn't go in there. But you know what I mean? There's a lot of local knowledge that could have been in an app form, but no, it wasn't out there.
Yeah.
As much as I have respect for Guy Hagi and all the weather teams, they were just recycling the same info over and over, and it's not their fault. The updates only come in at a certain interval, right?
Yeah.
So it would have been nice, like, I mean, I started my webcam broadcasting because my family in Seattle wanted to see, the nieces were asking to see the hurricane. So
yeah, they wanted to see you. Can we see Uncle Ricky die? No.
You know, funny enough, one said they wanted to see a picture of the hurricane from inside the hurricane. And then the other said, he said, no, Uncle Ricky, don't die. So one loves me, one wants to kill me. Whatever. Yeah. No, but that's kind of why I pointed my webcam, my secure Amazon Cloud Cam out the window and I started broadcasting was, you know, people should see the live of what's going on. And I don't expect the news stations to do what I did. I just have a little wind pointing out, I mean, a little live feed pointing out the window. But, you know, how many times can you repeat the 11 o'clock broadcast over and over again, right?
Yeah. And by the way, for folks who don't know what Ricky is talking about in terms of the timed releases for hurricane information, it's a lot like watching election night. Right, where the ballots are turned over and summarized every several hours. The hurricane feeds are coming in, I think, at 5 a.m. every 3 hours. 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5, and I think it stopped at 8 p.m., right? Because storms stop.
8 or 9 or something.
Yeah, because storms don't work after when it's dark or something like that. So we'd be glued to TV. I learned something, but I don't know if I mentioned this to John last week. I learned that if you have your TV on for 4 hours on the same station, my cable box will turn itself off.
I've seen that before, too.
I learned that not all new TVs have TV tuners in them anymore. Mm-hmm. When my cable TV went out, I was like, I'm just going to plug the antenna in into the TV, and I'm like, there's no antenna input. So I had to go buy one of those external TV tuner things for my TV. I added that to my hurricane kit. Oh. See, the preparedness stuff also needs to be updated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was joking around that.
Well, I mean, the last time they wrote it, TVs didn't exist. So, you know, you didn't have to worry about a tune at that point.
Well, they updated it to have hand-cranked radios. That existed at some point.
So Ricky, just as a FYI, so you had power, but your cable TV went out. Is that correct?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Cable and internet. Yeah.
So I live in a valley. I can only get one radio station. I don't think I can get any television stations here. So unless I could have like a 400 foot antenna, which would probably violate all kinds of FAA rules. I don't think I could get TV signal even with an antenna in this valley, so oh well.
Well, the one I bought on Amazon comes with a radio tuner in it, too. Digital radio tuner.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually.
I was like, okay. It was only about $30. It's not free, but, you know, I can just throw it in a cabinet until I need it the next time. I'm knocking wood, we don't need it, but you know what I mean.
Well, that said, there are two more hurricanes on it. So. But I think they're both forecasted to be go north of us.
I'm still laughing at the Walmart and Costco. I think it's Costco. Walmart and someone else, they're not taking back water.
Walmart for sure. I don't know about Costco. Costco is pretty good about everything, but Walmart.
Yeah, someone else is not taking back water.
I think CVS.
Yeah.
But I kind of understand that.
No, I completely understand that. Just.
It's water.
You know? Someone gave me the tip. You just buy those 5-gallon buckets, and in Hawaii, it's usually filled with shoyu.
Yeah.
And you just wash them out, and you can store stuff in them, and when the hurricane comes, dump the stuff out. Use that to store 10 gallons of water.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Or what I did was, you know, because I figured we would not have a full-blown hurricane. We just have a storm. So I have like, boy, I don't actually know how big it is. It's actually a, those big plastic bins you can buy at Costco. You know, they're like two, about the size of two banker boxes. Yeah, so I filled it with about 3/4 full of water outside. And I figured the rain would refill it, you know, as we used it to flush toilets or, you know, wash our hands
that's
or whatever.
Okay. As long as that's not the drinking one, all right?
No, that's not the drinking one. That's not the drinking one. But, you know, you need water for other stuff, too, besides drinking.
Yeah.
And, anyway, good tip.
Yeah.
My tip to them is they can, you know what they can do with the bottled water? This is really radical, okay? They can drink it. Yeah. But, okay. I know it's a radical thought. And to tell, and how did your, you ran into some interesting problems with your live stream, though, didn't you? Like, stuff was shutting off, and how did you work your way around that? Wasn't your stream shutting off on point?
I found out that Facebook has a 4-hour limit.
Oh, okay.
So every 4 hours, it would shut down my stream, and I had to restart it until I found out there was a way to, when you set up your live stream, you can check this option where this is a continuous live stream.
Yeah.
And Facebook won't archive the video. It'll just keep displaying
it. Oh, I see it.
Mm-hmm. It also supposedly turned off the DVR function so people couldn't go back, but people were going back.
So the if you don't turn on, if you leave continuous live stream off and it shuts off at 4 hours, does it record all 4 hours?
Yes.
Wow, no wonder they turn it off.
Yeah, that's why they tell you to turn it off. So I got around that on, that's how I got around that limit on Facebook. On YouTube, it's an 8-hour limit, but I couldn't find a way to get past it. Then again, 8 hours, my computer was too hot, so I had to reboot it anyway.
Wow. All
right.
Right. So you need like a cooling pad. You need a cooling pad or something for your... Or did you already have a cooling pad and still got too hot?
I already have a cooling system, but it's just, you know, the video card is encoding, CPU is encoding.
Oh, this is on a full-size PC.
Yeah, it's a desktop. Yeah.
That's the one you have your water-cooled system in?
No, I did not want to have the water-cooled system on because that's the one that's a space heater. So I used one of the lower-powered units. But still, yeah, I mean, it's still about 100 watts of power dumping in, you know, 100 watts of heat
into
the environment.
It's still hot.
So it's still hot, but it's just not as hot as the big desktop one.
Yeah, not the 300 watt or whatever you're using in that one.
Yeah.
All right.
And okay. Even though it's water-cooled, it doesn't make it cooler. It just makes the heat away from. It's still got to go somewhere.
Right. Unlike iPads, which shunts its heat into an alternate universe, as you know.
And then shuts down, and then you don't know how to bring your drone back because you've got no screen. I've been there.
Really? That's happened? Your iPad overheated?
Yeah. That's why I don't really use my iPad when I'm out in the sun anymore.
Got it, got it.
Yeah, because the iPad shuts down, and it's like, okay, now how do I bring the drone home?
You need like a secondary emergency button. Go, you know, say, "Hey, iPad's down. Come home."
It does, but at least the previous version of the drone I had did not have backup sensors.
Yeah.
So if it had to fly backwards to get home, it could hit a tree. If it flew forward to get home, you're fine.
Yeah. first world problem, there, Ricky. That's a first world problem.
And to answer your earlier question, why didn't I just stream off my drone?
Yeah.
I was saving my batteries just in case something happened to capture it on my...
Good. I get it. Makes sense. And we should note that the winds never really did get very high here, so you could have actually flown a drone while we're waiting around.
They were too high to fly the drones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most drones top out at 30 miles per hour wind. I know people go up past that, but it's not recommended. So I've been in the situation. Well, it's like when you're swimming in the ocean and the riptide takes you away.
Yeah.
You can still swim.
Yeah, just not where you want to go.
Coming home is the question. You can go up in the air. You might not come home.
Yeah. And I should note that Ricky is a licensed drone, whatever. So
he licensed does stuff. Drone pilot.
He does the right things. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do crazy things with this. I didn't think the wind had hit 30 miles an hour, though. It didn't, at least where I live, it didn't hit 30 miles an hour. I don't think it got much
beyond 15. According to my live stream, like, some of the trees were practically horizontal. So, yeah, that was too fast.
And you're only a few miles away from me.
Huh?
You're only a few miles away. You're like 10, 12 miles away from me. You're not very far.
At the bottom of Liliha Street, where the winds just kind of drop off the mountain and channel, right?
I just have this thought in my head of Todd talking to the bunny rabbits, taking their picture, and trees in the background blowing over and just being completely oblivious to that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why are the rabbits so upset? They keep looking behind me like something strange is happening.
I wouldn't put it past them.
It did not get windy here. I mean, you know, I'm not complaining it didn't get windy. I'm just kind of an observation. Just did not get windy here, and I was... Like I said, I was thankful for it because I had nails and boards ready to go, and I'm glad I didn't have to do it because then I'd have to putty up the holes.
Well, I mean, I have friends on the Big Island, co-workers, friends on the Big Island, and one person lives on the Kona side. They practically didn't see anything. They saw the storm surges, but not really the hurricane effects.
Right.
The other one who lives in Hilo, their driveway got washed away.
Yeah. So for folks who don't know, Kona is on the Big Island of Hawaii, which is a southernmost island where the volcanoes are. Kona is on the western coast of the island, and Hilo is on the eastern coast of the island, and the hurricanes here move east to west, so they're on the hurricane-facing side of the island. But it was what Ricky's was alluding to is the original forecast showed the eastern side getting slammed by hurricane winds. The western side, the Kona side getting slammed by hurricane winds, but that never happened. So that was good for them. But the eastern side, the Hilo side, got hit pretty hard. I know I saw some drone footage of the ocean-facing roads, and they were just swamped. I mean, they're underwater.
Not to narc, but it's actually Hilo Town.
Yeah.
Too close to the airport to fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody used that clip. I'm like, I wonder if the FAA is going to... Would be nice.
All right, and that's about all I have. So I think Ricky pointed out a few things I hadn't thought of, like getting an antenna, which may or may not work where I live.
It's better to have than not, right?
Yeah, I might order one. Can you send me the link of the one you bought?
Yeah.
Or put it in our show notes. And
put it in the show notes. And here's my other disaster preparedness kit.
Okay, what is that? What is that?
Retro gaming joystick. It has a Raspberry Pi in it. Yeah. I got it working during the hurricane. Figured it out. I'm bored, so I'm going to play it.
So that was your hurricane project? Huh? That was your hurricane project?
Yep. I can run it off USB. I can run it off a USB power bank. The TV is a different question, but I can run the computer off a USB power bank.
Oh, boy.
There are priorities here that I don't think the rest of the world share, but I don't necessarily think they're bad priorities.
Well, you know.
As soon as we got word that it was coming towards us, I charged up all my power banks.
Yep, me too.
I do have a solar panel just in case, but more for topping off than for fully charging everything. I joke that HP Envy is also part of my disaster preparedness kit, but in a way it is because it has an LTE connection. It can charge off USB, so if I had to shoot off an email or something a little bit bigger than I can handle on an iPad or on a phone, it's available, right? So,
Right. Do you have a keyboard for your iPad?
Yeah, I have the Apple keyboard one.
Okay. Because, you know, I find that once you throw a physical keyboard on an iPad, you can pretty much do everything you can on any other computer, email-wise or, you know, posting-wise, that sort of thing.
I don't disagree. There's just something a little more convenient having the full Windows experience versus a mobile experience converted to desktop for me. I don't know what it is. It's just old school. I prefer having the command prompt.
Well, for me, the problem is, you know, because I only power up my Windows PC once a month, which I'm going to do right after we get off, by the way, since I've now reminded myself I need to do that beginning of September and all. In an emergency, what would happen if I still had network connectivity is I would boot up my Windows PC and it would start auto-installing a giant update and I would be unable to use it for anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I have no bandwidth at all left while it downloads 1 gigabyte.
And Clippy would pop up and go, it looks like you have something important to do. Want me to install this 10 gigabyte update?
I recently saw an interview with someone who was on the Clippy team saying, they, you know, the whole thing of they weren't expecting it to become like the Evil.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Clippy is probably considered the most, is probably the most hated piece of Microsoft anything, anytime, anywhere. Yep. I can't think of anything more hated than Clippy from Microsoft.
To me, because that was just the default Office assistant in Office 97.
Yeah.
So if they decided to make like the wizard the default, then we'd all hate the wizard or something.
Yeah, like that's true. I didn't know it was available until Office 2007. I didn't know Clippy was in there, but you just had to go into the options to turn him on. All of them were in under Office 2007.
Yeah.
Well, but imagine
defaults in 97 and 2000. I think in 2003 it was off by default.
Yeah.
Imagine if AI were at its, you know, back in Office, whatever, 95 or whatever, when Clippy emerged. Imagine if AI was at the state it is now and Clippy had, instead of its stupid AI, had an actual AI. And it started learning bad words and things as you spoke to it. And it started cussing at you, calling you names.
And actively blocking you
if you need help. Yeah.
I mean,
fine. Honestly, you don't want my help writing a letter? I'm not going to let you attempt anything.
Hey, how about this? No caps.
Hey, but Siri. That's Siri and Cortana when she gets sassy.
Oh, Cortana. Oh, I don't even
activated my Cortana. Oops.
Yeah. I would say that the Amazon Echo and the Google Assistant are pretty close to each other in terms of being usable, and I find them both usable. And I would say Cortana and Siri are equally useless.
Right. But my one tip for Microsoft, if they ever, you know, not that they listen to us right now.
No.
If they can connect the Cortanas together, if they can connect the Cortana that's on my desktop, on my two desktops and on my laptops, if that becomes the same Cortana, then she increases her usefulness for me. Like, she'll remember, no matter what device I'm on, what I told the other device. That would make her still useless, but not as useless.
At least it'd be persistently useless.
Persistently useless,
right? Because it'd be persistent across devices. Yeah, that'd be interesting, I guess.
Because, you know, Google Now doesn't remember between devices. None of them do.
No.
None of them really do. So if they connect it so that I can... If on one computer I tell Cortana to remember this appointment, on the next computer she goes, hey, remember when you told me to do this on the other computer? That would be useful.
But, you know, that would, people are already creeped out by AI assistants, and I think that would really creep them out. Like, hey, do you remember?
Except our robotic overlords, they will rule.
Yeah, because, you know, let's say you have, some kind of Google Assistant in Chrome browser or Chromebook. And you say one thing to it, and then you're out and about with your Pixel phone or iPhone running Google Assistant, and it kind of chimes in and goes, hey, remember that thing you told me you were interested in? It's right here. It's at that store right here. Go buy it now. But, All right.
Anyway. Yeah, okay, I could see that how that's creepy. But if it's something I told it to remember.
Yeah.
That's different. That one's a little bit too much. It's going into whatever database on me stuff that I didn't exactly want. Yeah. Okay, we're running long.
All righty. Okay, so we're almost at the 1 hour mark. I want to thank Ricky Lee for joining John and me for this post-hurricane lament. Because we really, I guess Ricky found some interesting stuff. I didn't find anything interesting /useful to use. And as I said last week, my biggest disappointment was, so I have the Hawaiian Electric app on my phone, and it shows where outages are, and I found it pretty useful. But I was really I became very disappointed when one of the spokespeople for Hawaiian Electric was on TV last week, you know, prior to the hurricane, and he said, and this was kind of interesting coming from presumably a PR type guy, saying, yeah, our app is there, it's not too accurate, so whatever. I said, oh man, don't tell me that. I like your app.
Well, he's being truthful, and it's Darren Pye.
Yes, he was.
He's being truthful in the fact that it depends on someone to update the app, and they don't want to. They don't want to have the internal database plugged directly into the app. That's just bad. You know, their work database. We have that in IT side too. The one that you have to fill in, the troubleshooting tickets.
Right.
Right. Can you imagine if you saw the live troubleshooting tickets of Hiko?
in the app, just wow.
Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, gang. Okay, so Movies Podcast 266. Thanks to Ricky for joining John and me, and we'll talk to you next time.